The next case is number 04-1693, John R. Evans against Michael Morgan. Mr. Kinney.
May it please the court. My name is Paul Kinney, and I represent John Evans, the plaintiff appellant in this case. Evans began working for the state of Wisconsin Department of Revenue on September 12, 1977. On September 7, 1978, he attained permanent status in the classified service in the state of Wisconsin. On June 1, 1992, Evans received a letter confirming that he had attained permanent status with respect to his Attorney 15 management position, also known as the chief legal counsel position. Michael Morgan became secretary of the Department of Revenue on January 20, 2003. On March 19, 2003, Secretary Morgan informed Evans that Evans was relieved of his position as chief counsel. Morgan said Evans was being replaced because Secretary Morgan wanted to bring in his own person, as he had done with other positions. He said his decision was not a reflection upon the quality of Evans' work. Secretary Morgan admittedly had the discretion to make the demotion decision. Evans' demotion became effective on April 7, 2003. Mr. Evans received no process prior to this decision going into effect. He sued, alleging a violation of 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, denial of his due process rights. And at paragraphs 14 and 17 of his amended complaint, he claimed that the procedures involved in his demotion were inadequate. The district court granted the defendant's motion for summary judgment, holding that Mr. Evans did have a property interest in his position. However, Secretary Morgan's activities were random and unauthorized. Therefore, pre-deprivation process did not apply. Post-deprivation process would have been enough. Mr. Evans appealed, and his appeal should be granted in his favor, because this case is really governed by the decision in the Zinerman case by the United States Supreme Court. The Zinerman plaintiff, Birch, presented at a Florida psychological hospital in a deranged state. He was admitted to this hospital under their... Yes?
Before we get to that legal issue, there's a threshold issue about whether this was a demotion or a transfer. Would you address that, please, and
sure,
what the legal standard is for deciding that?
Very well. I will do that. The property interest is guided by the decision in the Loudermill case. This is very similar to the decision in the Loudermill case. In that case, the plaintiff was terminated after it was discovered that he had indicated no conviction on his record. The court held that the plaintiff had a property interest in his employment and that the court could not deprive him of that property interest.
The property interest is determined by reference to what?
Property interest is determined by reference to state law.
And what is the state law on whether this was a transfer or a demotion?
The state law defines a demotion to mean the permanent appointment of an employee with permanent status in one class to a position in a lower class than the highest position currently held in which the employee had permanent status in class. And that's according to the Administrative Code ER-MRS 1.02 sub 5.
And what's the definition of a transfer?
The definition of a transfer is the permanent appointment of an employee to a different position assigned to a class having the same or counterpart pay rate or pay range as a class to which any of the employee's current position is assigned.
And did the position that your client was reassigned to have the same pay grade?
The answer to that is complicated. At the time that Mr. Evans' property right became vested, no. At the time of his demotion, the answer is yes. Similar to the situation in the Loudermill case and similar to the situation in the Barr case, the state tried to change the rules in midstream, thus trying to deprive Mr. Evans of his property right without due process of law. Both the Barr case and the Loudermill case stand for the proposition that once someone has a property interest in his or her employment, that property interest cannot be denied by without due process of law. In other words, the state can't change the rules in midstream.
By that, do you mean that the administrative code was changed? Or do you mean that something separate was done to your client in a particularized way?
Something separate was done in a particularized way. Secretary Timberlake, shortly before Mr. Evans was demoted, she made a declaration that his position would be considered a counterpart pay position to the attorney, the staff attorney position to which he was demoted. And in that was an example similar to what the government did in both the Loudermill case and in the Barr case, trying to change the rules in midstream. Back to the fact that Mr. Morgan's actions were not random and unauthorized, this case is very much like the situation in the Zinerman case. In both cases, the state had the authority to deprive people of their property rights. The Constitution imposed upon them a duty to see that no deprivation occurred without that process. Because the state delegated to the Zinerman officials the power and authority to affect the very deprivation complained of in that case, the state then also delegated to those authorities the concomitant duty to initiate the procedural safeguards set up by state law to guard against unlawful confinement in that case. In this case, Secretary Morgan was designated uncircumscribed authority to initiate this demotion proceeding. Therefore, it was a violation of Mr. Evans' due process rights not to have some process in place to check that uncircumscribed authority. One of the issues that has been raised in this case in the appeal by Secretary Morgan is the issue of qualified immunity. Assuming that the property right is established, the analysis then moves on to whether it was clearly established that Ms. Secretary Morgan's actions were a violation of Mr. Evans' rights. The Sonleitner case, the Head case, the Loudermill case, and the Barr case all stand for the proposition that it was clearly established. However, those are all in the appellant's brief. I wanted to add one more to the mix, the Sauer versus City of Fort Wayne case, 737 Fed Second 622. In that case, there was a law that said firefighters could be demoted only with cause. The city in that case admittedly demoted the firefighters without cause by sending them a letter to that effect. The firefighters sued, and the Court of Appeals held that where an employee has a right to be protected from demotion without cause, the government violates due process when employees are demoted without cause. Thank you.
Before you, what happened with the Wisconsin Commission proceedings here?
Mr. Evans appealed the decision to the Personnel Commission. The Personnel Commission held the case in abeyance until the federal case had been decided. The case is still being held in abeyance in the Personnel Commission.
I mean, as you interpret this, he had an absolute right to remain as this chief legal counsel under Wisconsin law.
Not absolute, no. He could certainly be removed for cause.
For cause, but there's no cause. Nobody claimed cause.
Correct.
Here.
And he could also be removed as part of an economic restructuring. But he could not be demoted without cause in this particular circumstance.
Did you ask for proceedings to continue in Wisconsin while this case was pending? Or did you, I mean, whose decision was it to hold everything in Wisconsin pending the outcome of this federal?
It was a decision made sua sponte by the Personnel Commission. We did not object to it, but the case is still pending in the Personnel Commission. Mr. Evans still has not gotten his chance to argue about this demotion.
So if we affirm and you're out of court, federal court, you still have this post-deprivation remedy hearing in state.
Presumably, yes.
What are the remedies?
Why do you say presumably? I thought you said it was definitely held. Or will somebody say it's res judicata?
Yes. I never want to count my chickens before they hatch, Judge. I don't know of any reason why this case would not be able to go forward in the Personnel Commission.
What are the remedies available to your client in that procedure?
Back wage loss and attorney's fees.
Reinstatement?
Reinstatement is also a possibility. There's also a technical difference between reinstatement, and I forget the term, but it's a term that has that essentially means being treated as if one never left the position. That also, I assume, is a possibility, yes.
But there may be no wage loss here.
If he's reinstated, there's evidence in the record, convincing evidence, that there would have been, that there's wage loss from his demotion.
A smaller wage increase during this time?
Smaller wage increase, yes. And also things that flow from the smaller wage increase. Although I do not understand the particulars of the Wisconsin retirement system, the fact that he received these smaller raise increases will have an adverse effect upon his retirement benefits as well.
Thank you, Mr. Kinney and Mr. Sweeney.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the Court, my name is John Sweeney. I'm from the Office of the Attorney General. I represent Mr. Morgan, as I did at the District Court. To address some of the earlier questions, I don't believe it's as complicated as Mr. Kinney has indicated as to whether or not this was a transfer or a demotion. We, of course, argued it was a transfer. Hearing arguments from both sides, Judge Crabb concluded it could be both, but she did not need to pursue that because she answered other questions in favor of the defendants. There is no longer a Personnel Commission. There is a Wisconsin Employment Rights Commission. The decision whether to go to federal court or to go through the state administrative proceedings, be it the Personnel Commission or currently the WERC, is a decision that the plaintiff, the complainant, and his attorney make. So he could have pursued it, could have pursued reinstatement immediately at the WERC or the Personnel Commission. We've heard nothing here today, nor have I seen anything in the briefs that have presented any arguments to demonstrate that in the district court, Judge Crabb erred when she found there were no material issues of fact in dispute. There were no facts in dispute whether or not these actions were random and unauthorized. There were no disputes of fact as to whether or not any pre-deprivation proceedings would have changed Mr. Morgan's mind.
When you say something is random and unauthorized, it usually presumes that there is some kind of process required by state law that was not given. Is that true in this case?
Well, there was no process, formal process given other than to come in, to sit down, here's my decision. The record indicates there were two sit-downs before the formal change was made.
Is that required by Wisconsin law?
No, it isn't. The only requirement for pre-deprivation proceedings or a hearing is, as Mr. Kinney pointed out, when there is an effort to demote or terminate for cause. It was Mr. Morgan's...
What does the law require when there is a clear demotion or termination? What kind of a pre-deprivation hearing does Wisconsin law provide?
It provides, as do other state laws, that the employee is entitled to some type of pre-deprivation hearing, meeting at which time that employee can present his or her case.
And that was not done.
That was not done in this case.
And that is because, in the view of the government, this is, in fact, a transfer and not a demotion.
In the view of Mr. Morgan, at the time this was done, he was advised by his staff that because this was a counterpart range reassignment, they considered it a transfer. Judge Crabb, of course, said it could be both a transfer or a demotion under Wisconsin law. And what Wisconsin law will call this personnel proceeding will be ultimately determined in the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission. But we've heard nothing, either in the brief or here this morning, that would indicate, going with what Mr. Morgan believed to be the state of the proceedings, that any pre-deprivation meetings with Mr. Evans or any type of action by the secretary would have changed his mind, because, as Mr. Kenny says, Mr. Morgan had decided to bring in his own person to be the general counsel of the Department of Revenue. At the same time, Judge Crabb found that there was no evidence presented that post-deprivation remedies were inadequate. In fact, we cited a case from this circuit to say that this circuit has held that it has not been demonstrated, and it certainly was not demonstrated in this case, that post-deprivation proceedings, the Personnel Commission, or today the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission, are inadequate. And we assume that that's where this case is going to end up.
Did in one of our cases inquire as to whether or not that organization is sufficiently prompt in its determinations?
I don't believe that question has been addressed, and it certainly was not addressed at the district court level.
In this case.
And Judge Crabb commented on that and the lack of evidence that was presented at the district court level.
What kind of a time frame does that commission work within? Can you give me a sense of what does one do? One files a complaint and then there's a hearing? Is that what happens?
One initially files a complaint with a deferral agency. It may be the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the Personnel Commission, and today it's the WERC. And some people, as in this case, proceed to court. To federal court. That's the choice that the employee makes. It is very difficult for me to stand here today and give you some idea in terms of the time period, because basically in the last year and a half there have been several modifications in the administrative proceedings in Wisconsin, and
it's pretty hard though for you to argue that it's an adequate state post-deprivation remedy if that organization stays its hand when it hears there's a federal court case in progress.
Well, that's the choice that the employee makes, Your Honor. He or she can ask the WERC or the Personnel Commission, please address my case. And many claimants do that. In fact, they go through a process of discovery there and then decide whether they want to pursue it there or come to federal court.
In this case, did the employee actually ask the commission to stay its hand pending the outcome of this litigation?
I'm not certain of the language, but he informed the Personnel Commission that the claimant was pursuing his cause in federal court. And the filings periods were within weeks, if not days,
another. Is there any legal obligation on an employee to pursue post-deprivation remedies rather than make a federal case out of it?
Well, the state offers certain proceedings. Some are pre-deprivation, some are post-deprivation. You cannot claim a constitutional violation if you say, I'm not going to pursue the remedies that exist. And yes, there is an obligation to make a constitutional claim. You must seek the due process that is being offered or that is available.
Well, arguably, that's not being sought here. The filing was made, but nothing's being pursued.
Well, it won't be pursued, and I believe most state administrative agencies say once you choose a route, be it the state administrative agency or the state or federal court, we will defer. And then we will examine what the decision is coming from the court to see if it completely resolves the issue that is before us. And I would suggest that it will not be resolved in this case, because the state administrative agency will rule whether it was a demotion or a transfer.
Well, the employee here can arguably get everything he wants and is entitled to through that administrative remedy. Is that not the case?
I believe it is, unless there's a claim for punitive damages, and I don't believe that's the kind of thing that is present in this particular case. But the employer cannot tell the employee, you must do this, you must pursue it that way. That's his or her option.
Why is it his or her option?
There are.
Well, this is assuming this is serious business. Don't laugh at me.
No, I don't mean to do that, Your Honor.
I mean, is there some rules? Is there some statute, or is there some rule in Wisconsin that gives the employee that option?
Yes. Yes.
The employee has that option.
He has the option to go to the state administrative proceedings, or he or she can go to federal court when there is a constitutional.
See, that sounds like you're arguing that Wisconsin has made a decision to defer to the federal courts. And if that's true, it's pretty hard to also argue that that's a viable post-deprivation remedy, that we ought to make this man exhaust.
It is the state of Wisconsin administrative proceedings say we will not pursue both remedies, both avenues, at the same time. That's not to say when Mr. Evans concludes in federal court that he cannot go back to the state proceeding.
Well, at best here, a decision in your favor will not be a decision on the merits.
No, it won't.
So then he has a right to go back.
He does.
You can't argue res judicata because our decision, if it was against the plaintiff, would be that he has remedies available.
That's correct.
Post-deprivation remedies available in the state agency.
That's correct. Mr. Kinney made a brief reference to qualified immunity. I would suggest in this case, if there ever is a case where qualified immunity is applicable, this may be one of those cases. It appears that the state of the law was in doubt in Wisconsin at the time this decision was made.
Well, I don't belabor the point, but it seems sort of unusual to me that a new secretary of the department here, the Secretary of the Department of Revenue, has to keep whoever the chief legal counsel is to the department when a new administration takes over. But that's apparently the situation in Wisconsin.
That is what the argument is here. There are a number of cases from this court in the Shackman area involving what new people can do once they come in. And that is at issue in Wisconsin.
I mean, it's pretty close to being a policy-making decision.
It is. He's a member, he or she's a member of the cabinet.
Yeah.
I see my clock is up.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. King, you heard time had expired, I understand, so we will take the case under advisement with our thanks to both counsel. The next case is number 03-23.